Well, today we're going to be talking about living with sorrow. And probably nobody wants to have any type of sorrow in their lives. And we probably all think that our life would be just a lot better if we didn't have sorrow. But that is unrealistic. All of us will go through circumstances that will fill us with much sorrow. You know, we're going to go through the death of somebody that we love. And sometimes there's also sorrow in just being separated from someone you love, not through death, but maybe through a division or through a disagreement. There's just a separation in a relationship. And you may also have sorrow when you finally face the fact that this dream or hope that you've always had just isn't going to be realized. And there's just sorrow and sadness in that. And you know, Jesus has warned us that we will have sorrows, we'll have difficulty, we'll have trial and tribulation in our life. In John 16:33, Jesus is talking and he says, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace." He wants us to have peace. "In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Well, what Jesus is saying is, you know, as we live through this time in the world, we're going to go, each and every one of us, through hard times, through trials, through tribulation, times of sorrow. But as we go through these times, we need to look to Him. We need to have faith in Him and what He's done for us. Because He has told us here that He is the victor. He has victory over this world. He has overcome it. And as Jesus was talking to His disciples at this time, He knew that the time was growing very near, that He would suffer on the cross, where He would be crucified and die. So He, you know, for this time, even for Jesus, you know, this was the time of His greatest suffering, but yet He had the greatest confidence during this that God's victorious purposes would be met during this time. And Jesus wanted to be able to tell His disciples that they could remain calm and confident and trust in the Lord during this time, that they shouldn't be rocked by His crucifixion and not fall into depression or sorrow, you know, as they saw the situation, the circumstances that were about to occur. So He's saying, take courage, look to Me, trust Me. You know, I've overcome the world. Well, God has given us promises in His Word that we can rely on when we need hope and comfort. And not just in everyday circumstances, but also during those most difficult times of trial and sorrow. And earlier this year, well, I work with some of the Awana girls, the fifth grade girls. And in our Awana books this year, we had been talking about God is. And each week we talked about, you know, something that God is. The first week was God is truth. And so we talked about verses, about how God is truthful, we can trust Him. Another week, He's all-powerful. Another week, God is everywhere. And another week was all-knowing. So kind of after, you know, four or five weeks, we talking about each one of these characteristics, you know, boy, you know, here, God is truthful. We can believe everything He says. He's powerful. There's nothing that He can't do. He's everywhere. So we cannot escape Him. You know, He always knows what's going on in our life, and He loves us, and He's concerned about it. He knows everything. So not only is He totally aware of everything that's happening, you know, but He loves us, and He's watching out for us. And so I asked the girls after this, I said, wow, when we think of how great God is and all these characteristics, do you think we can trust Him And I really expected them to go, yes, you know. But they said, all of them said, well, I don't know, it kind of depends on the situation. And at first, I was a little confused, but then I thought, well, it's probably not too different than people my age. You know, that probably a lot of people know some things about God, but yet they're not actually willing to live it out and to trust him in those times that really push you. You know, am I going to trust and believe in myself, or am I going to trust the Lord in this situation? So anyway, I just thought that was kind of a funny example. But you know, the very best way for us to prepare for trials and times of sorrow is to prepare today, to get ready today for that. So that's what I hope to encourage us all to do, is to get ready for difficult times starting this very minute. Well, the first thing we need to do is to get to know our Father in heaven, the one who died for us to pay the penalty so that we could have a relationship with him. We need to get to know him just as well as we can. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And that phrase at the end of the verse, even to those who believe in his name, is really just describing what it means to receive him. Have you received him? Have you believed in his name? Do you believe what the Bible tells us about him? Do you accept what the Bible has told us about Christ and his provision for us? That it is his Son, Jesus Christ, God's Son, who paid the penalty for all of mankind. And that he suffered on the cross and he died, and he rose again on the third day to show that his sacrifice was acceptable to God. Do you believe that? Have you trusted in that? You know, I trust that everybody here has. But, you know, if you have any questions about it, I would say maybe you have attended here for many, many years, but you're just kind of questioning in your heart, have I ever really believed that? If you have any questions, I really encourage you to come talk to me or somebody else that you know that you think can talk with you. And I don't want anybody to leave here today without being fully assured that they truly know Jesus Christ as Lord. Well, the main way that God has provided for us to get to know him is through his word. And probably most of you know that. His word tells us about his deepest nature. It tells us everything that we need to know about him to get to know him and to live a life pleasing to him. And so what we need to do is every day spend time in the word. And I have to say, you know, there are seasons of life when it is more difficult, but I know that God will make a way for you if you're determined to spend time with him in the word. It may be that you'll have to get up a little bit earlier. It may mean that you'll have to discipline yourself when your kids are taking a nap, you know, whatever it is. But God will provide the time for you to spend time with him in the word. You know, and I was thinking, you know, an expression that we probably use a lot is, I'm going to have my devotions, or, you know, something along that line. But I read something recently that talked about, instead of saying that, to say something more like, you know, I want to be more devoted to God. I want to know him better. I want to love him more. And because of that, I read my Bible so I can be more devoted and in love with him. That really rolls off your tongue, doesn't it? You know, so you can... So anyway, but just to change the way that we think of it is when you say, I'm going to have my devotions or whatever, it kind of sounds like an obligation, something you just have to check off your list, you know, to be done. But when you change it to say, you know, I want to get to know my Savior. I want to get to know the one who died for me. It changes it more to getting to know somebody, wanting to spend time with them. So it was just good for me just to think of it in a little different terms. So after we're busy spending time in the Word every day, getting to know Him more and love Him more, then the next thing we need to do is just start putting into practice the things that we're learning in the Word. I just picked out a couple examples. In Philippians 4:6, I think we're not to the handout yet. I know you guys are really sad, thinking we're never going to get that handout, but eventually we will. In Philippians 4:6, it starts out saying, be anxious for nothing. Well, you know, if I'm reading that in my Bible and I think, oh, I'm really anxious. I am so afraid that my child is going to fail this test in college. And when he fails, he'll have to drop out. And then he won't be able to get a job. And, you know, he's doomed the rest of his life. Does anybody ever have thoughts like that? Or
it's, move home.
That's the worst. They'll move home. Yes, well, instead of going all the way there, you know, say, okay, Lord, you're showing me that I am anxious in this situation, so what should I do? Well, that verse tells me that I need to go to Him in prayer. I need to pray about it. So I say, Lord, I admit, you know, I am just afraid that my child is going to blow his whole life here. You know, just help him to study, to use his time well, to prepare for this test. Just help him, guide him in what he should be studying. And Lord, I just trust that you have this under control and that your will be done. Amen. And, you know, and at that point, am I going to go back and be anxious about it? Because my anxiety can make my child get an A+ on the test, obviously. No, it can't. So, you know, give it to the Lord and leave it there. You know, let God be in control. Trust that God will do what is right in your child's life. You know, it sounds so easy, but you actually have to do it. And maybe that first time is scary. But, you know, God, this is what God is saying. Be anxious for nothing. And so I'm going to practice. I'm going to put into practice in my own life what He says. And then down a couple of verses later in Philippians 4, verse 8, it says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Okay, well, here I am. I'm looking for things to put into practice that I read in the Word. What about my thoughts? Am I careful with my thoughts? Am I making sure that I'm thinking about things that are true, honorable, right, and pure? Am I doing that? Or do I spend my time thinking critically of somebody? Oh, I sure don't like so-and-so. She really bugs me. You know, is that what I'm thinking about? Am I jealous of somebody? Oh, I wish I was like her. You know, she's so fantastic in everything she does. You know, am I doing that? Am I jealous or envious of something that somebody else has? Well, my husband works really hard too. How come I don't have this or that? You know, these are things that, you know, if God is showing you in his word, you know, that you are not living up to these things, then we are responsible for Him to change these things. You know, we have to be the ones to step out in faith to do these things. God doesn't magically dust you with something, fairy dust, and make you obey. You know, we are the ones that have to actually apply God's word to our life. So we need to be doing that. We need to be practicing the things that we read in the Word. And, you know, and as we start letting God's word actually transform us and change the way we think and the way we act, the Holy Spirit does what only He can do in our lives. He makes that growing change in us. But it's up to us, you know, to step out and to begin obeying the Lord, obeying the Word and doing those things. Another thing I think that is helpful is just to keep a little notebook, something by your bed or by your Bible, so that every day as you're reading, you know, getting to know Him more, and something sticks out to you, write it down. Write down the verse reference and what it is, and just to keep track of it. And I just find it really encouraging, you know, to go back and reread some of the things that I've written down, because I tend to forget them, you know, and just go back and reflect on verses, thoughts, you know, that God has really impressed on your heart. And just, it's fun just to see what God, to be reminded of what God has been showing you and teaching you. Well, finally, we get to the handout. We were supposed to be talking about sorrow. And really, sorrow, like every other emotion, is one where we just have to bring it to the Lord and do what He says in the situation. So I wanted to start out with, how do we refocus our thoughts during sorrow? And, you know, I think our tendency, either in sorrow or other difficult situations, is we just, I would describe it as we just kind of go inward. You know, we just keep things, our thoughts, maybe inside. But spiritually, we just kind of turn inside. And I just think that's wrong. What we need to do is turn out toward God, you know, to turn to Him, basically, instead of just keeping all of my thoughts and concerns to myself. Turn to Him. Bring your concerns to Him, because He is the one who will be doing the change in our hearts and our lives. So as we are trying to refocus our thoughts during sorrow, the very first thing I thought we should do is to choose, and it is a choice, to trust that God is bigger, better, smarter, and more loving than you can imagine. Plus, a big benefit, He always keeps His word. So I thought we'd just go through some verses here that that were encouraging to me, just as we focus on that. The first one I know that you all know, but it's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So let's just take a look at that. Says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. So here we are. We are going to trust in the Lord, even in our time of sorrow. It is a choice, like I said before. It says that we are not to lean on our own understanding. It is really not up to me to figure out all the details. I just trust that God is sovereignly in control of my situation. And I'm going to acknowledge, you know, God, I'm dependent on You. You're kind and loving. You know everything. I'm going to trust You in this situation. Another verse is Psalm 100, verse 5. And this is a neat little psalm of praise. The whole thing is basically about God is the source of everything that makes life good and enjoyable. And verse 5 says, for the Lord is good, His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. I love verses that say God is good. You know, it's just encouraging to me. And in times of sorrow, our tendency may be to forget that. So here this verse says, for the Lord is good. And that comforts my soul. His loving kindness is everlasting. He's not going to quit loving us. It is everlasting. We can depend on that. And His faithfulness to all generations. You know, He doesn't change. He's the same. We can trust Him. We can rely on Him. God is just bigger, better, smarter, and more loving, you know, than we can even imagine. Numbers 23:19. It's kind of at the beginning of the Bible. tells me a little bit about God. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? You know, this verse, again, I could say they're all encouraging because they are. You know, it tells us, you know, God is not like people, not like man, who can deceive or lie or just be wrong about things. God can't do any of those things. God is never wrong about anything. It says, has he said? Has God said something and will he not do it? No. God always says whatever he tells us he's going to do, he does. And everything that God does is good. Has he spoken and will he not make it good? You know, these are just good verses to get in our mind, to reflect on, to meditate on. Romans 8:28 is the next one. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Well, here I am in my time of sorrow, and this verse tells me, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good. You know, God is in control. He's a kind and loving God, and this may be a difficult time when I have to trust him in ways that I've never trusted him before. But God is good, and he causes all things to work together for good. So even in my hard situation, I can trust the Lord. I know that he's working for good for me. And then a couple of verses later, in verses 37 through 39, but in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, this is a pretty inclusive list. I mean, it's like there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Isn't that good? So whatever my situation is, I know that I cannot be separated from the love of God, that he's with me. And those verses earlier, he's working all things for the for my good. These are verses that we can take comfort in, to trust in, to find peace and security in during times of sorrow. Nothing that happens to us is outside of God's control. There's a book that we did a couple of years ago at Titus Tuesday, not by chance, Learning to Trust a Sovereign God. Probably most of you in here have read it. If you haven't, I would encourage you to read it. It's just a great book. It just walks you through the sovereignty of God. I would say this is a book that everybody should read. It's just really good. It just walks through so many different examples of God being completely in control of everyone's life, not just your own, but how God has worked through time. He's always sovereign. You read so much scripture in here as you're going through the book that God, I think, will just overwhelm you with the truth and of being secure in his sovereignty. So if you've never read that, you should definitely do that. And I was going to put a plug in here. Last week at Sunday school, I'm in that Fundamentals of the Faith class, and Gordy Coffin and Jeff are teaching that. But Gordy started going through the characteristics and attributes of God. It was so good. I mean, I was just really encouraged by it. So if you are looking for a different Sunday school class, you should come, because Gordy's going to keep talking about the characteristics and attributes of God. And, you know, you might look at it and say, oh, this is so boring. There's so many big words here. You know, it's like immutable. What does that mean? Omniscient. You know, what does that matter? Well, it matters a lot. You know, it as you see who God is, and you see how it applies to your life, it's just very exciting as you just learn more about him, and it just helps you to trust the Lord more and more. So come to the Fundamentals of Faith class on Sunday morning. You will be blessed by it. So the second thing we need to do to refocus our thoughts during sorrow is to resist the temptation to worship the problem. Don't dwell on your sorrow. It's easy to focus on the problem instead of praying about it and focusing on God's ability to handle it. And that's key. You know, it's God who's going to be working things out, not you. So let's look at 1 Peter 5:7. Oh. We're running out of time. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That's pretty direct. You know, let God cast your cares on God. He cares for you. He loves you. Let him take the sorrows. We'll just skip Matthew 11 right now. Psalm 138, 7 and 8. You may not be familiar with that. It says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. I love this next part. The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Your loving kindness, O Lord, is everlasting. Do not forsake the works of your hands. I love those verses, you know. When I am walking through, he says here, the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You know, God is with you. He knows everything that's going on. You can trust him. And it talks about how God will stretch forth his hands against our enemies. You know, God is in control of those people. He will do what he desires in that situation. But just the security of God will accomplish what concerns me. I don't have to stew and fret. I don't have to worry how things will turn out. I can just trust the Lord. And then in Psalm 119, verses 92 and 93, I did not get that on your sheet, but you should jot down Psalm 119, 92 and 93. It says, if your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. I just love those verses. You know, here it is. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. Probably some of you have felt like that before. You know, I know I have felt like that before, where things are working out that break your heart. And you know, and I can either sit around with a broken heart for a long period of time, or I could give it to him. I can trust in him and his word, knowing that he's got it all under control. We have a choice. How are we going to handle it? Are we going to trust the Lord with our sorrows? Or are we going to try and manipulate things to make it work out for our own good? If your law had not been my delight, is God's word your delight? Do you love the Lord and what you're learning about him? And then it says, I will never forget your precepts. I'm never going to forget your word, Lord, what you say to me, because it's by them you revive me. You know, that's just some great verses just to meditate on. You know, am I delighting in your word, Lord? Do I run to your word in times of sorrow? look at this. Oh, everything that we didn't get done.
Don't worry about it.
Okay. Look at, you can look up the rest of the verses on your own. And then that on the back of your handout, it says, what are some purposes of trials and sorrows? Purposes isn't really, I'd say, quite the right word. It's like, you know, what is God doing in my trial and sorrow? You know, what's he doing in me? How is he changing me? What all is going on? So maybe we'll talk about that in discussion group instead. So I think we just have to go to prayer. Father, we thank you for who you are. Lord, I just thank you that, Lord, that you love us, that you've called us to be your children. And Lord, I just thank you that you want us all to get to know you deeply. And Lord, you are certainly worth knowing deeply. Father, I just pray that you would just use your word in our hearts to make us love you more, to trust you more, in all situations, in happy situations and in sorrowful times. Father, I just thank you for this time together. Just pray that you'd bless the rest of our morning together. In Christ's name, amen.